John 3:16. I would say most anybody here can quote it. And this is the verse. It's the New Testament verse. It's the Bible verse that most anyone, even, you know, people that are unchurched, unsaved, most everyone knows something about the Bible, and they know a lot about this verse. Just a few words, 25 words. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That is the theme of the Christmas season. It ought to be the theme of the Christmas season, that God loves the world. And that love that we talked about last weekend, it is really not at all what God... It could never be what God wants it to be unless there is an expression of it. Love that is only just professed or talked about is not really love. Love has to be expressed if there is to be the reality experienced. Shakespeare, and he knew a lot about it, he said, They do not love. I don't talk like Shakespeare, so I have to read this right. They do not love that do not show their love. It's true that there has to be an expression of it and a demonstration of it. Now, most of the gift giving around Christmas time is not necessarily gifts of love. Most of the time, it's gifts of obligation or duty, or this is just what you're supposed to do at Christmas time. You buy the family gifts, and the family buys you gifts, and you give gifts to other people that you want to give special recognition to. And it's fine, it's a good thing, but it's really wonderful whenever that gift is truly an expression of your heart. Amen. Giving can make a difference. Most of us have experienced this. The great blessing of giving, and how that you, when you're a recipient and you're in need, how it blesses you, but even more important, how that you are blessed whenever God uses you to give and to pour out. The most important thing is that it has to begin with a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're gonna read some verses also this morning in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now this chapter is a description. You have to remember the vision that the apostles had whenever they were not planning to go to Macedonia. But they had this vision. A Macedonian appeared to them. Whether it was a vision or a dream, they saw that it was a Macedonian, that he was apparently dressed in the attire of that culture, or maybe even speaking in that language, but however it was, he recognized him as a Macedonian. And in this vision, he said, come and help us. Come and help us. And they received the word of the Lord from that vision, understanding that God was directing them to expand their missionary work, to go into this new region, even to a more pagan region. Two churches that we know much about from the New Testament were established because they went into this region known as Macedonia. Two of those churches, the church at Thessalonica and the church at Philippi. Both of these churches were a part of this Macedonian missions trip that wasn't planned, but it became a part of the plan because God used this vision of this Macedonian to speak to them and to tell them, go and help them. Go and help them. Now, they didn't necessarily have need of help, except they were in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing you can do. Missionary work is not, it's one thing, sure, you give clothes and you can give food and you can provide for the needs that they have. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a wonderful thing to be able to help people in their need. But the most important thing about missionary work is that you give them what they need the most. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation. An understanding of what it means to be saved. So that's what's being described here whenever Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he's talking to them about the church at Macedonia and how that their hearts were so touched and how they received the gospel and the church was established there. And he uses them as an example of giving. Verse 1 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to know about the grace, and you can always interchange the word grace and gift. Gift and grace. Always interchangeable. I want you to know about the giving, the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And what he was describing was the fact they heard the gospel, their hearts were changed, and after their hearts were changed, then they wanted to give back. And even out of their poverty and their lack, they wanted to give back. They were so blessed and so grateful for what the Lord had done in their life that they wanted to give. That's a wonderful example of what happens in a life of a person when he gets truly born again. He's not selfish anymore. He isn't greedy anymore. He's not self-centered anymore, but he's concerned and compassionate and giving and interested in people and the needs of others around them. And so those at Macedonia, Paul said, I want you to know about these people. I want you to know about how that when they received the gospel, that they had a change of heart. They were so transformed by the experience that they wanted to give to you and to the work of the Lord in many different places. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now he's describing a church that's under pressure. They're persecuted. They're going through trials of affliction. And it says that in the midst of all of this, you would think that a church that's really going through it, that they would say, well, we're going to have to take care of our own problems and resolve our own needs, our own problems before we could ever care about anyone else. But no, there was such joy in their heart that they said, even in the midst of all of our trouble, in the midst of all of our affliction, the things that we're going through, the trials of affliction we're going through, we still have this heart to give. We still want to invest in other people, even though we're troubled and we've got needs and problems of our own, and even out of their deep poverty. Do you know that even those who may have very little can know the joy of giving? Amen? You may not have much, and you may be absolutely scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I believe that God can still use you, and oftentimes it's through your generosity and your love for the work of God and for the advancement of the kingdom of God, that's really your way out of your poverty. Because you begin to give even out of your need and out of your own personal poverty and trial and affliction. You just give. And when you do, then you realize the joy of the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul said, here is a church that has had, their heart has been so affected that even when they're poor and they're going through great trials of affliction, they still have a heart that's just overflowing. And they want to give. They want to have a part. They want to invest in the kingdom of God. There has to be an expression of it. It's not just in monetary giving. It's in giving of your life completely. 2 Corinthians, I'm skipping down to verse number 5 here in chapter 8, where it says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That was where the beginning, that's where it all started, was whenever they gave their own selves to God. And they gave themselves, the Apostle Paul said, they went beyond our expectation. They gave their hearts to the Lord and they yielded themselves to us. And we're just saying, however we can be used, don't overlook us. We want to be a part of this work of the kingdom of God. Please don't leave us out. We may be poor and we may be, you know, a church that don't have seem to have much to offer, but don't overlook us. We want to be a part of this. We first gave ourselves to the Lord. That's where it really begins. You know, a lot of benevolent things going on in our world today. I just read a little article about Sarah Palin's got a big group that's gone into Haiti this weekend, and there have been a lot of benevolent groups that have been going in to Haiti with all throughout this year, with the earthquake and then diseases and all kinds of problems, and they've got lots of problems going on there right now in the last few days. There's a lot of giving. And I remember while we were there, the men that were with us in Haiti back in June, speaking to Brother David Lloyd, the missionary there, about all the money that was being given to Haiti. I mean, rock groups were giving money and movie stars were giving money, and just about every agency was involved in trying to give money down there. And he said, you know, really, no one's... He said, I'm not talking to anybody that's realizing any help down here. And this is 6 months after, or 5 months, whatever, after the earthquake, and all these news reports about multiplied millions and millions of dollars that have been given. He said, a lot of it's just tied up in the bureaucracy. That there, you know, there's been a lot of giving going on, but there's a lot of squabbling over who has the right to it and who gets it and how it's going to be dispersed. And he said, I don't know of anybody that's really gotten any money yet. And we made comments about all the damages, the damage that was done in the earthquake. It was this overwhelming damage, but you hardly saw any cleanup crews or construction crews, hardly anything going on. It just looked like it had just happened. It was still in a big mess. Let me tell you, I know that there's benevolent groups and there's good things that are going on, and I think it's fine to give to the Salvation Army and to the Red Cross and these various groups. It's fine if that's what you feel impressed to do. But the most benevolent thing that you can do and the most safe thing that you can do whenever it comes to giving is make sure that you're doing it through the work of the kingdom of God. Then you can know for certain that it's going to be touching the lives of people and really making a difference. Because people in the world, they're generous and they give. But really giving that is to be the way that God gave, it has to start with a heart change. And it has to pour out of your heart of love and compassion. And so he gave this group here at Macedonia, he gave them as the example of the grace of God, the gift of God. Since their hearts had been touched and changed, now they're motivated to give. And give and give of themselves and of all that they had for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 12, verse 34, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Making sure that your heart is right. You need to make sure your heart is right and to get right with God, and that God can use you to make an investment in the work of the kingdom of God. Another place in the scripture talks about that out of the heart, everything flows. The issues of life, it all flows out of your relationship with God. And so if your heart isn't right with God, then you're not going to be a very effective giver. For God so loved that he gave. That was the action. That was the expression. That was the demonstration of his love. Amen. He so loved that he gave. He gave. And of course, we know that his gift was the greatest of all gifts, the gift of his son. The writer talks about that gift as an unspeakable gift, an indescribable gift. Amen. The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you can be a person who allows God to touch your heart and to change you to the point that you want to be used of God. You want God's hand upon your life so that you can give of yourself. You can give yourself to God. You can give yourself and submit yourself to the kingdom of God. And you can yield everything that you have to the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen. And when you do that, then you'll experience joy. Joy that the world can't understand or comprehend. Two churches, and I'm over in the book of Philippians now, chapter 4. As I mentioned, the two churches that were established that we know very much about in this Macedonian region was the church at Thessalonica and the church at Philippi. So let's read some verses here in Philippians chapter 4 that go along with this very same theme. chapter 4 and verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Talking to this group again. You gave to me before, and now here you are again. Giving again. Now it's flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in a respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. You talk about joy and encouragement. You know, whenever you're used of God to give to someone that's in need, to give to the work of the kingdom of God, to give of yourself, even like those who've given time around this facility the last few days, there is a joy when you know what you're doing can potentially advance the kingdom of God. There is a joy involved in it. And even an effort like our choir singing over at Randy Smith's funeral the other day, that was an opportunity to minister to a family, to minister to people who are grieving and sorrowing. But yet God has given to us an opportunity to pour out and to give of ourselves in ways to bless people. And what an encouragement is whenever you see God using you to provide spiritual help and spiritual blessing. It is such an encouragement. That's what the apostle is talking about here when he's describing, here you are again, giving again, taking care of our needs once again. He said, I just rejoiced in the Lord greatly because here you come again, being used of God to provide help in the situation that I am in need of. And what rejoicing that there is whenever we're able to be used of God to give. And then not only that, but our giving, it enlarges your area of influence. Whenever you live your life for yourself and you're just wrapped up in your own little needs and your own little problems, then you live in a very small world. But whenever you realize that God so loved the world, all of mankind, and that people everywhere were and are being touched by the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can give also of ourselves, of our lives, of our commitment, of our finances, all that we have, our gifts and talents can be given. And when we do, we enlarge our influence, our ability to touch people's lives in many, many places. And what a blessing it is that God can use us. Verse 15, it says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, I'm sure that the Macedonian church, they had no idea that he was going to write about them in Philippians, and he was going to write about them to the Corinthians, and he was going to spread the fame of them everywhere that he went. And he was going to say, look at this church and these people in Macedonia. Look at how they give. Look at how generous they are. Look at their heart for God. They're an example. He set them up as an example of how the church, and he said, you're the only ones who've communicated to me about this opportunity to give. Because they wanted to enlarge, they wanted to be used of the Lord, but little did they know how wide of an influence that they could have. Amen. When you give to missions, you don't always know the far-reaching effect. That's why that in recent years, many missionaries have encouraged pastors and laity to visit mission fields. And to see the work of the Lord, what's going on. And when you see those buildings that have been built, and you had a part in it. You see those church buildings established, filled with congregations of worshipers. It has such an impact on you. Whenever you see the work of God going forth and the physical effort that's going forth and buildings that are built and lives that are being changed, you see the influence of your giving. And it challenges you to be more, to do more. So you're encouraged by it. The church is encouraged by our generosity and our giving. And we are able to be blessed because we're touching many other lives for the glory of God. Amen. Let's read on here, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, so he's talking about Macedonia, or he's talking about he's talking to the Philippians now, and he said, even those in Thessalonica, which was a church in Macedonia, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. How many preachers have been? People have said, oh, that preacher wants to talk about his money. He wants to take up offerings every service, and sometimes he'll take up two. And all, you know, he just talks about money, wants to raise money in the church. Well, I understand that there's a lot of misappropriation, and there is money being raised for the wrong purpose and the wrong motive. But whenever you can see people being blessed and their lives being affected for the glory of God, then you can encourage them. Give, and make sure you give with wisdom, and give from your heart, and give as God has provided for you. And if you don't have money to give, then give your time and give your talent and make an investment in the kingdom of God, because this will be kept and to your record. It's going to build your record, your heavenly record. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Amen. That the record that's being kept, that you will bear fruit, and that fruit, you'll realize that you had a part in the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. As a matter of fact, you know, we can give, and we can give to encourage someone. This is really out of the ordinary for the middle of a message. But I've had this on my mind all morning, and I think I'm going to take an offering. And where's the offering plate? I just need one. I just need one. And this is an offering to encourage Joshua Gent. Joshua Gent is trying to arrange to fly to see about his dad tomorrow. And so he's trying to make the arrangements with his work and with his responsibilities that he has here. I just believe that the Lord can use us to encourage him. Encourage him, to let him know that not only is God involved in what's going on, he's concerned, but we as the body of Christ, we're concerned too. We care. We care about what's going on. I don't know what it's going to cost us trying to find some flights for him, and there's some decent deals available for tomorrow if they hold up, if they're still available. For him to fly out tomorrow, but he's going to have to take off work, and if he can get off and go down there, let's just give our brother an offering. Okay. All right. Where did we hide the offering plates? That's all right. This is humble, but we're gonna. Just, Jeff, just stand right here and open that box up. I'd like for everybody to stand up with me. And let's march down here and give our offering. Amen. This is a gift to make a difference. To give help to someone. And to encourage them to know that God is interested in the problems and the needs that we have. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a difference it makes whenever we give to the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. If you would, let's just march down by here in this offering. We're going to give this offering to Joshua Gent to help him with his travels and his time off from work. Come right on. Let's give. Pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful to be able to give, to make a difference, to help someone in their need? Not only do you enlarge your influence, but this is given to your account. and it blesses the people of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel more blessed now than I did when we started this service. Amen. Amen. It is pleasing to the Lord, is it not? Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. What a blessing it is to be able to give. For God so loved the world. What was the action that took place? What was the evidence of that? He gave. He gave from the heart of God. It's the nature of God to give. He gives. He gives. And every gift, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we receive all these wonderful, wonderful gifts from the Lord. His hand of provision, His blessing upon our lives. And I encourage you this year, give to people in need. Give to those who have legitimate needs. And give to be a blessing to the body of Christ and to the kingdom of God and to people everywhere that are in need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God so loved that He gave. That He gave. And our giving can make a difference. You know, that's really a giver, a person who has that special gift to give. They look for ways, they want their gift to make a difference. They don't give to just everything and to anything. They give to make a difference in the lives of people and for the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the wonderful provision that You have given to us of salvation. Lord, You so loved us that You gave Your Son. We thank You for the message of the gospel in John 3:16 and all throughout the pages of Your Word. We see, Lord, that wonderful gift that You give to us. Thank You, Lord, that we can be a part of the family of God and the body of Christ, and we can minister to people in their need. And Lord, we're trusting, Lord, that You will use us in a greater way should You tarry in this coming year, Lord, to give and to advance the kingdom of God. We thank You for it, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.